All right, I'm ready.
Kick that shit, dog.
All right, y'all. Once again, it is a Verbal Gunplay Podcast. And in keeping with this month's theme, I guess we would say, we are highlighting women and all that they do, whether it be business, personal lives, jobs, whatever. And this week, we have what I consider to be a very special guest. She is a daughter, a wife, and most importantly and special to me, a sister, my sister, Just Tiff.
And that's broke.
Just Tiff.
She said she ain't want no sparkles. Don't want extra like sauce or anything.
I know, we gotta clap at least.
All right, we'll give her some air horns.
Watch that break quietly.
Okay. There you go.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So the reason why I wanted to have my sis on here this week,
Hey, whoa.
What?
Welcome to Verbal Gunplay.
I started with that.
You, us?
Bro, they know who we are. But if y'all don't know who are by now,
talk that shit. That's all I'm talking about. Say it with your chest.
If you don't know who we are, here we got him, Duncan, Timothy Chalamet, Danny De Niro over here.
Hey.
Right here. Y'all know me. My rhyming and shit. Golden Lion. If I'm lying, I'm flying. And since I ain't flying, I ain't lying. L double in the place. Okay, now that the introductions is out the way.
All right. Let's get to it now.
The reason I wanted to have you on here, besides the fact that it's just part of the theme, is most people, the last two people we had on here, are people who are running some business and trying to do things, you know, over the top and kind of crazy. Well, oh, girl, the last chick wasn't too crazy. But you are always been, always have been a very down-to-earth, you know, regular but still shine bright person. And I wanted to highlight you and people like you that just go out there, go to work, get it done, and, you know, stay connected to their family.
Appreciate that.
My sis works in the medical field, and I think that's always something that's important in the Black community, in the Black neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to highlight that, and then we can talk about it. So Tiff, give us your background for those who don't know.
All right. First, I want to say the reason it's important is so that you can get care from people like you. So it's hard to trust the palm people, you know. And so you need people to look like you so that you can feel comfortable and like you're going to be treated with not only care, but respect that you deserve. So anyways, by trade, I am a nurse. Honestly, I fell into it. Somebody that was going to nursing school was asking me a lot of questions I couldn't answer. Wow. And so I went to nursing school so that I could help them answer those questions and get through those courses.
Very practical.
And that's how I got into nursing. But it fits me because I just like helping people. And overall, that's what I do. So right now, I am a case manager. In my current role, I help when patients are discharging from the hospital. I make sure they get what they need, whether that's just equipment, a walker, BiPAP machine, oxygen, home health, need to go to skilled nursing facility, inpatient rehab, need dialysis. Mm. I make sure that happens in a timely manner so they can be discharged from the hospital in a timely manner because nobody wants to be there anyways.
Mm.
So how did I get into this? Most people think nursing, just regular floor nursing in the hospital, taking care of people. I did that. I started out in what they call acute rehab, so it's people doing physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapies intensely, meaning you cannot go home or go to anywhere else because you can barely walk, stuff like that.
Okay.
From there, I actually, shout out to Rachel because she got me this job pretty much as a neurophysiologist. That was a fun job. Anyways,
wow.
So basically monitoring the muscles and the nerves during spine surgery. Then from there, I went into regular acute care hospital, working on the floor, thoracic spine unit. After that, I worked in a nursing home. So I pretty much done all around services when it comes to healthcare. I've done home care. I worked for an insurance company. And I have worked in the HIV clinic. And what that allowed me to do is look at healthcare from many different angles to see where the problems are.
Mm.
So in my mind, I was creating this job where I can help fill the gaps of all these things that are happening. Why are all these people repeat offenders, that's what I call them, to the hospital. Why did they keep coming back?
Back again?
You know, the gap in care is really at home. When you're in these facilities, you have all the attention in the world. Everybody's doing everything for you. They're monitoring your vital signs and making sure you eat the right foods. They're making sure that you get the right exercise you need. When you go home, nobody's doing all that. It's just you. So I wanted to be that person that helped in the home doing that. And, you know, even coming full circle with that, realizing there's even a problem in the hospital because these people that work in the hospital don't know the resources that these people know at home, need at home. So in work of all that, I was actually also a community health worker for a little while where I actually enrolled people in insurance. So I basically, in my head, I'm a health navigator. I know how all of this stuff works.
That's what it sounds
like. I
know
how to make it get done. Any obstacle that you're having, I can walk you through it. So it makes me perfect for what I do now, now that I'm back in the hospital as a case manager, making sure people get when they need what they need to go home. For example, somebody needs to go home. They have a wound. They need wound care, so they need home care. And the doctor writes the order for wound care. Literally, that's all it says.
Just says wound care.
Right. So knowing as working as a nurse at home care, I know that they need to know exactly what the wound care is. You have to have an order for how many times a day wound care needs to be done. What actually needs to be done? Are we just cleaning it? Wrapping it with gauze? Does it need packing? I need to know specifically if I was receiving this patient, I'm going out to this patient's home, seeing them the first time as a nurse, what am I doing? Can't just say wound care. I might not ever done wounds before. I'm not a wound care nurse. I need to know what I'm doing.
Does it matter what kind of wound it is? So like if it's a gunshot wound or they had a car accident, maybe it's a motorcycle accident, they got like road rash or something like
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. All that's different, right?
Absolutely, because they stage the wounds and what kind of damage it is. Is it just surface? Does it go down just below the skin? Is it into the muscle? Is it into the tendons? Is there the tissue inside of it healthy? Is the tissue inside of it dying? That all determines what kind of wound care you're going to get. So do you need to go and see the wound care doctor once a week? You know, all of that matters. And everybody's kind of expert in their own thing, even the doctors. They don't know that those orders need to be specific to go home. They just know they need wound care, they're sending an order. So now I got to go to the doc and tell them exactly what's needed and literally argue with them about why this isn't needed, because otherwise there's going to be a delay in service. Patients are going to go home. The home care is not going to have the order. They're going to be asking us for the order maybe 2 or 3 days before they get seen. You can get an infection real quick from not changing the wound dressing.
Meanwhile, they're in pain.
Exactly.
Especially
if you're not able to change it yourself and you need that nurse or somebody to come out and do teaching or whatever the case is.
Which leads me to my next question. Something that my wife talks about a lot, and it's sort of a buzz thing on the internet. I'm not sure if you want to call it that, but the difference in healthcare, basic care, and just people just being able to relate to Black people, specifically Black women in the medical field. I've heard stuff saying, well, Black people are tougher and stronger. They can take pain more. But at the same time, they say we're more dramatic and complain more. So those two things can't coexist, I don't think. Have you seen anything like that?
Of course. First thing I need you to know is they're taught this in medical school, that Black people don't feel pain the same way. Don't feel it or feel it less. So that's why you find...
In medical school, it's not like they just talk about it amongst themselves. Like, it's in a book and the teacher is like, Black people.
The history of gynecology is very painful. Back in those days, the medical field was built on us. They experimented on us. And in order for them to do things that they were doing, do you think they had anesthesia in these surgeries when they were just discovering and doing stuff?
Nope.
Nah, hell nah.
When they was doing all these, most of it was women, like that whole field of gynecology, you know, doing all the hysterectomies, all of that stuff. And the way that they can justify them doing it without anesthesiology is saying that they don't feel pain, that Black people do not feel pain. So what you'll find is in care is they don't believe that you're in pain. They think that you're drug seeking and you're likely to get less pain meds, which means you have less pain control. if you're in more pain, you cannot do what we call activities of daily living. You might not be able to get up and walk or bathe yourself because you're in so much pain, because your pain is uncontrolled, because they feel like you're not in pain. So that's, but it's literally taught. That's how that comes about. They still teach it today. It has not changed yet.
Because I always, like, it's funny because I always run into white ladies who have a purse full of stuff. Something happened, they fell and stuff, they told, and their dog died 18 years ago, and they're still in mourning, and they're taking all these pills and all this stuff. No problem. They'll openly talk about it. My wife will tell you all day. They'll openly talk about it, and everyone's understanding. Let a black woman need to stop to take some aspirin, and it's a problem.
Yep.
I've seen it myself.
As far as being emotional, I think that black people in general are more expressive. I mean, we take a free
That's funeral. A better term. Expressive. I know why they get these expressive.
I'm very expressive. You go expressive. To a funeral, we're laying out, being all dramatic. That's us as a people. Even if you look at the difference between most white churches, black churches. I mean, they're getting better now. But some of the ones I went to when I was a kid, when we was living in California, there was no clapping. Like, in white churches.
Now they're trying to put some sauce on it. They're trying to be like us.
Some of the stuff I've seen lately. Hilarious. I think I seen a cover by of Kirk Franklin's stuff recently.
Oh, I saw
that on the internet.
Ooh, that was terrible.
It was
so like a white choir doing Stomp, and it was it was as vanilla and saltless as you could think.
I always put like one of the black people in the front row, and I was thinking in my head, like, are they going along with this? Did they approve? Like, how do they feel about this?
It's probably
rendition?
Their idea.
It might have been. And, you know, that's the only way they was going to get it in their church. So it is what it is. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. I think that we're more expressive. So they think that we're being dramatic when in fact we might actually be in pain. Mm-hmm. So, or whatever. It could be emotional, could be physical. But I just think as a people, we lean into our emotions a little bit more, as in let them out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you look at even, I think some of the people that are least expression of like British people, like white people, just hold everything in.
That's why they always mean mugging.
I know.
Ain't no hugs going on.
That's why they don't take care of their teeth because they never smile.
Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, I think that. It is ever more important for you to get health care somewhere. It doesn't matter if you're going to do be an aide in home care. I think the best way for most people is to be a nurse because it's what you can go and get a 2-year degree. Of course, you're going to have to probably go on to get a bachelor's, but you can start working within that 2 years. And while you're working, go to nursing school.
Get your credits.
Start doing your bachelor's, but it pays well.
That was about to be one of my questions.
It pays well.
Yeah, my daughter's going into it, be an OBGYN.
So, I mean, and you know pretty much if you're into your stuff and your studies and pay attention when you get that first job in the hospital, you know pretty much as the doctors know. When you call the doctor and tell them what's going on, they say, what do you suggest? There's a reason for that. I'm not saying that doctors don't know their stuff, but you spend the most time, besides the aides, you spend the most time with the patient, so you know what's going on. But anyways, it makes good money, and it's not just hospital. You can do what I'm doing. You can work in other places that I said, out in the community, home care. You can do rehab. People just do consultant work, like going to be a star witness.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things that you can do. You know, there's a lot of jobs, even a lot of jobs that you can work from home. You can work for an insurance company doing that form of case management. You're just calling patients and helping them navigate the system from home instead of in the hospital.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
all that's
good money.
Yeah, all that to say, black folks, we need more black people out there in the medical field, just like we need more black teachers, just like we need more black people in the government, because no one's going to take care of us like us, and there is a way that we relate and we understand each other that others just don't. Y'all know what we're talking about. It's like when you're talking the phone with somebody, like, for instance, I had to call customer service the other day. just to get something fixed on my phone, and you automatically know you're talking to another black dude. It's like there's a signal or something. And then both of y'all get cool. I'm not, if things taking a long time, I'm chilling because I'm not trying to make my man's day hard. You know what I'm saying? And he's doing what he can to actually help me. But somebody else on the other phone, I'm talking shit like, hey, bro, you need to hurry up. I got shit to do. So it's different. Like, we see each other, we recognize each other out in the world, and we need more of that.
It's so racist, but why is it that we can understand who we're talking to without even seeing them? Just by hearing the voice.
It's the voice, you know, it's the cadence, it's the words we use, all that.
I was just talking to somebody about that because there's a lot of people out here who speak real proper, right?
Yeah.
And I said, we were talking about how, like, during an interview, like, they can never tell. I can always tell. No matter what vernacular you're using, their accent, it's the tone.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to the tone of the person's voice, so you know.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they don't get it.
It's been rare that I think I've only really remember one time where I was wrong, that it wasn't somebody black, but he still was like black adjacent. It was like that Mexican dude that grew up in a black neighborhood.
Right.
So when I was like, oh, okay, I still kind of right, you know? Mm-hmm. It's that culture thing that people like pick up on. It's like you said, it's the tone, it's the way we talk, and it's just words we use, phrases just we use that, you know, the whites haven't picked up on and made terrible yet. That we the white or every, I mean, honestly, everybody else. I'm trying to say, like, pro black. I want to see all black people win. I know I hear the racist, like, yo, we got a clip, right? We talking about black businesses, and 70% of our comments is white people going in there calling us racist because we support black business. That's crazy.
Listen, they're working on that reverse racism thing real hard.
I was like, you can't reverse that. You can't. It's either racism or it's not. There's no reverse racism.
But the thing is, they see the loss of power. Okay.
For sure.
If there begin is that there's enough of a power shift, it will become racism at some point. And they better watch out because some people are going to be on it. But we're not talking about that. Let's talk about, continue to talk about racism in the healthcare field. As workers, when you have any type of license in the healthcare field, it doesn't matter if you're a provider, as in a physician, nurse practitioner, nurse, a social worker, anything where you need a license and you have to be recertified, you got to be extra careful, especially in this great state of Texas. Day after us, I've never seen so many people getting their licenses taken away. And they, and more often than not, especially when a group of people involved, it's going to be that black nurse, a black provider, at black social workers who they're trying to lose the license. It was like everybody else could have done the same thing, but you're the one that's going to be in trouble. So when it comes to that, we got to have each other's back and be watchful of what's going on. Know when you need a second person in there talking as a witness to what's going on.
Absolutely.
Especially dealing with patients, because they will be quick to say that you did something or said something that was accurate. You got to really be on your P's and Q's. You got to be on your P's and Q's in your documentation. Because we know if you didn't document it, it didn't happen. You have 24 hours, most times in a nursing facility, or I'm sorry, in a hospital, to finish your documentation. If you got to go the next morning and start with finishing your documentation from the late from yesterday, do that. Make sure you put it in there. If you forgot it today, put it in there tomorrow. If you working at 12 hours and you got the next 4 days off, I'm sorry, you got to go the next day in the morning, finish that documentation, get it in there.
Good advice.
CYA, cover your ass.
Yeah.
Because they blame the nurses these days. You know, they nurses is going to jail. I'm just saying. Providers have the hospitals backing them because they make all the money. You know what I mean?
For sure.
They will throw you under the bus, so you need to be careful. That's all I'm saying on that.
So how long have you been in this field? How many years?
13 years.
13 years.
13 years.
Okay, so I'm gonna get personal here. Stop me if I'm going too far.
Stop. No.
And about them Lakers, and I'll just play. So you got bullied into taking the vaccine?
What I believe is everybody needs to do what's good for them. I do not believe that a young, healthy person should have been taking doing the vaccine. Did I take the vaccine? Yes. I did it because, at the time, honestly, my mother's a nurse, and I had her come over to where I was working. But within 3 months, they decided they were going to require the vaccine. And we were both talking about what we're going to do, like just let them fire us. But then, you know, me, I would have been fine. But yeah. I could not deal with
I assumed that's what was going to happen when it came out.
With the thought of my mother not having an income that she needed and trying to figure out how to make her some money and me some money. Like, I could figure out how to make me some money, but enough for the both of us, I couldn't do that. So we both took it together to keep that job. And still to this day, when you go get another job in a hospital, healthcare, besides home care, I think home care was the only place that they just was like, we need people. It says that you have to have been vaccinated.
Wow.
And fully vaccinated only means that you had to get one. So I did my research on the vaccines and I chose which one I wanted to get.
Oh,
okay.
You know what I mean? Because I read. So
is it too personal to ask which one you took?
I took a Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
Which coincidentally was the ones they was pushing into the lower income black neighborhoods.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what my dad got.
But honestly, there's an issue with all of them. But the part of the reason I took that one is because it was only one shot. I ain't happy. You wouldn't get me back. it's one and done. There's no way I would have been able to because be considered fully vaccinated. Not fully vaccinated, not up to date. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have if it was two shots, you had to have gotten that.
Both shots. Two shots. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they actually tried to specify at my job which one that you could take, but I went on the CDC website and it says here that I could have taken any of these ones, so I qualify.
Knowledge, information, power.
Knowledge is power, but only in certain instances. Knowledge is not power until it becomes wisdom, which is knowledge applied. You have to use the knowledge. You can know what you want, but if you're too scared to apply that and say something, if I was too scared to speak up, and they would have made me go get another vaccine that I didn't want. Knowledge is not power. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Touché.
Now, older population, especially those with a lot of comorbidities, which means that you have multiple diseases, issues, diabetes, obesity, asthma, COPD, which are both, you know, lung issues, you might want to get that vaccine. You know what I mean? But you have to, the part that I had an issue with was that these doctors was not reading. They did not read the research because, so I was what they call a medical case manager at the time in a HIV clinic. And I was telling my patients when they came see me, so they would go see the doctor and I'd come see me afterwards, wear your mask. Now there's whole controversial issues about the mask and whether it works. But aside from that, I was saying because people were getting a shot and then going out not wearing a mask, every website at the time was basically saying that if you took the shot, you wouldn't get it. I said, that's not what the research says. You are still going to get COVID. This is just like a flu shot. It's meant to keep you out of the hospital, making your symptoms not so severe.
Yeah,
and I got a lot of pushback from the providers there until they had to admit that I was right. New York State got sued to take that off of their Department of Health website, and they had to take it off because there's no research that says that you would not get it, and we learned that you still will get it. So,
yeah, I was vaccinated. I still got it.
One thing I would love to teach people is just how to research. Sometimes it's about what it doesn't say. So my first degree is in chemistry. My first bachelor's degree is in chemistry. And what I learned is how to read research and also that you can make research say whatever you want it to say. As long as you word your words properly. So.
Dive in on it.
Go ahead.
Okay. You're at the edge.
All right. So I flip a coin 100 times. 48 times it lands on heads, and the other 52 it lands on tails. But I can say that coins will sometimes land upright on the side. Why? Because that does happen. It'll roll and then it'll flip to one side or the other.
Okay.
Right? And mm-hmm. I can write that, I don't write that 48 times it's heads or tails. I write that most of the time when I flip the coin, it lands straight up. I don't give any detail that it rolled and went on side, one side or the other. So people might think that I flip a coin and it's landing and it's staying there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what I didn't say is what happened before or afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I got people out here thinking I'm some kind of genius that can't flip a quarter and make it stand like this. And I did it 100 times. That's a weak example, but it's...
Yeah, I get where you're going with it.
The point was how that is, that did happen.
It did happen.
But they don't talk about what happened after, what happened before. It's a way for them to manipulate the information, which is something I've said. People say numbers don't lie. I always say yes, but they could be manipulated into not telling the truth.
Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But also, if you don't know what all those numbers mean, like they have like a coefficient. Listen. They have these numbers that tell you how close to the truth this particular number is. Basically, yeah, what? Exactly. Exactly. So basically, what's the deviation from the standard? How far is this result from the standard? And if you don't know how to read that number, you're thinking that you may think that this happens more often than not, and actually this is more of an outlier,
mm-hmm.
right? So me landing that quarter up like this is actually an outlier, but I got you thinking it happens often because you don't know how to read the little fraction numbers they give you.
Right.
Closer it is to zero, the more true it is, rather. So it's all statistics, basically, when you look at it, so... I can make it say whatever I want it to say, but you also need to read into, did somebody sponsor this research? If they sponsor this research, what is their goal? Are they trying to sell you something? We had research back in the day that told you how good milk was for the body.
Sure did. That commercial, milk does a body good.
Milk does a body good.
We know the slogan.
The truth is processed milk doesn't. Do the body as much good as just milk coming from the cow and drinking it.
I was going to say titty milk. Because, I mean, there's a lot of nutrients in there when we're a kid.
There is,
you know?
There is.
I don't even really drink milk anymore. I used to drink a lot of it.
The research that got all the sugar on the shelves had to do with all the cereals. People were trying to sell cereal, and they needed to put sugar in it so we eat it. And there was even research saying that sugar wasn't harmful. Now we're finding out all the sugar is causing us... even Alzheimer's, like, come on.
Yeah, for a while it was saturated fats. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They come up with something all the time. I think right now it's carbs or gluten or some shit that you're not supposed to be into.
The thing is that everything in moderation, too much water can kill you by either drowning or...
or you just drink it and get too much water poisoning.
You tend to see that with people that are working out, drinking too much water too fast, and you basically like drown from the inside.
Like a dry drowning kind of thing, they call it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fluid overload. So,
too much of anything is a bad thing. I tell Danny would beg to differ on certain things.
No, I agree on that.
He was like, I'm not gonna go there.
I'm not walking into that one.
No, you can put anything in that space. Yeah, too much of anything is a bad thing.
It's a bad thing for you. It might not kill you.
It could be video games. It could be food. It could be sex. Like too much of anything, it's a bad thing.
Too much video games.
Yeah.
What? Is such a thing? What?
Yeah. No,
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh, man.
My wife wouldn't allow it. So, look at his face. He's like, oh, wow.
I want to talk about something that you guys don't want to talk about, but it needs to be talked about.
Let's talk about it.
We're going to talk about fibroids and heavy bleeding and cramping during menstruation. Also, stop calling this stuff our little friend. Who?
And referring to what?
Listen,
That time of the month.
Yeah, your little friend is here. That is not my friend.
Your auntie is here. Aunt Flo. That's
What kind of friend? What kind of friend is that?
That was kind of funny. At least
that was kind of clever.
Yeah. What kind of friend is that? It's like
the
a little demon.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because I've talked to a lot of people about this since I've been adult, but more recently lately, I've had women just come up and just start talking to me about this. I don't know these people like that. I work with some of them. But it wasn't like, hi, Tiff, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. It was like, hey, I'm having heavy bleeding, and I had this surgery, and it made it worse. Right. So there's two different issues. There's hormone issues, and then there's fibroids. The fibroids are within the lining of the uterus and can get bigger. You can have surgery, and they can come back. But that's what's going to cause your heavy bleeding, PMSing, really bad debilitating cramps. And then there's issue with the actual lining of your uterus. So there's different procedures that you can have. Most popular is your ablation and your embolism. What's the difference? The ablation is like a burning of the lining of the uterus, right? That will not solve your fibroid issues. If your doctor gives you an ablation, it's going to get worse eventually. I am wrestling within my spirit of whether some of these doctors are knowing this and are trying to cause you to come back and possibly have either another ablation or hysterectomy, because they get paid to do that. They get paid for those services, for those surgeries. Hysterectomy, you get more money for.
My wife mentioned that. She was surprised how many other black women of younger ages have hysterectomies. Oh, you have a problem? Hysterectomy.
Yes. But that's part of eugenics. I don't know if y'all... Listen. Eugenics. Look it up. E-U-G-E-N-I-C-S. And then you start learning about Planned Parenthood and a person... I can't even remember her name right now. It was like the queen of Planned Parenthood. That's what I call her anyway. But the overall agenda was to stop black people from having so many babies without birthing them at the end of the day. I'm not saying that Planned Parenthood is overall a bad thing. When I didn't have insurance, I was young in college. Where did I go? I went to Planned Parenthood. I got free health care that way. So it's great in many ways. But anyways, so let's get back to what we were talking about. So the ablation, if you have a fibroids, it will make the problem worse eventually. And a lot of times it gets worse right away, like right after that surgery. The next few periods, it's heavier, you're having more clots. And the problem with that is when they go in to do finally do fibroid surgery, they really can't do it because they burnt up the lining in your uterus already. It's already scar tissue. So you need to have an embolectomy or one of the other procedures. Something really new is like ultrasound waves. Ultrasound waves, I only found one place here in Texas that does it. It's in Austin. And it may not be covered by insurance yet. I would say new in the medical field, but it's not new. Like, it didn't just come up within the last 5 years. So basically what they go in, they insert a probe into the actual fibroid, and then they hit it with energy, sound. And it shrinks, and it kills the tissue and shrinks it, and it'll go away. So now less recovery time with that. I'm probably talking about a week. Less painful.
Wow.
So, of course, the things that would be best for us or the most expensive, and only certain people have access to it. But I'm going to start going within certain circles. Like, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Red Alert movie, but it's a movement just talking about fibroids and PCOS. Look it up. You'll learn what it is. It's a lot of the same symptoms, same issues, but there's slight differences in the diagnosis. So trying to get the word out. Kind of like Dr. Is it Hadia Green?
Yeah, asking us. We all know.
So check it out. This lady is basically doing research. She started it in college. She went to college in Atlanta, I think, originally. And she's basically hitting cancer tissue with a photon beam, not damaging none of the other tissues, no side effects. and she's trying to basically get funding without doing government funding. Because once they come in and start doing it, they basically control it, and they can charge what they want. She wants it to be affordable to the everyday people.
So to actually cure people and make it affordable so people can keep living.
Right.
Surprise,
so
surprise.
We don't need all this chemo. You ain't going to be making money. Chemo kills anything it touches. Any tissue around it, doesn't matter if it's healthy or not. I'm not giving any advice on whether I think you should get chemo. I probably wouldn't. But I'm just saying that if I had a choice and I picked, it's kind of like a no-brainer. And that's why they're not really trying to help her like that either. So I've been donating to her for at least 5 years. So she's still doing her thing on that end.
That's heavy, man. Like us as men, I have daughters and a wife who's gone through some things. So I'm a little bit, I wouldn't call myself knowledgeable, but I'm aware of these sort of things, which is why I kind of bring them up. Because I do know about it, and my wife talks about all of these different things. And like I think I've said on another podcast, as a business, as what we're going to do is try to start something that helps Black women in the birthing process and all this stuff, because we're at such a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So this was an important one to me, and I hope people got something and continue to get something out of this. I mean, I know you got so much more to say about so much, man. I'm sitting here kind of in awe. I didn't even know you had all this in you. So
yeah. I don't really talk about it unless
you in your bag, and it's nice to see you in your bag.
Yeah.
I was debating if I was gonna share something personal, but I guess I'll just throw it on out there.
Get in there.
So, about a month or two ago, I've noticed this for like maybe like past year or two, but I've noticed as I've gotten older, it's a little bit more work down there, getting him active, and I've had this fear of, okay, once you turn 40, that's the age where you got to get all these checkups and do all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, I'm in my 40s now, so fresh 40, still 40 on the dot. Anyway, I'm here now, so it's like, all right, I got to start doing checkups and whatnot. And you know how these phones and everything, they listen to everything we talk about, and it changes the algorithm. Yeah. It's almost like what you're thinking, it'll show you.
Yeah, for sure. That's
so, you know, I was a little curious, and I was looking into, because, you know, my stuff still works, but I was just like, it's not working like when it was like 20, 25, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, oh no, do I have ED? I started thinking that, right? But then I started looking at various forms of it, you know, and then I guess in my search, I came across this recommendation to get treatment, and I was like, I'm like, you can do treatment for that kind of stuff? I didn't even know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess it's like some new technology, you know. So I'm like looking, digging more into it or whatever, and I came across this health clinic. I guess they do this thing where they where there's like a procedure where like over like a weekly period of time they do like I guess it's like some form of like zapping, sending sonic waves. And I guess what it does is it breaks up the plaque,
that
I guess.
That's the one I was going to suggest.
It breaks up the plaque, I guess, inside of your stuff, which increases.
Plaque.
Yeah, it's plaque buildup over time, which is what causes, you know, limp dick, basically. So, yeah, and I guess what they do is they'll do like a test on you, because not everybody can get this done, because I guess once it's so much blockage, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
So I went there, got the little checkup, and they said, you're a candidate, you know, you're not far gone or too far gone or whatever. Right. And I said, okay, all right. So, and then this is where most Black people will run for the road.
All right.
I was like, all right, so yeah, what we got to do? Let's get this done. They're like, all right, so cool. So you paying cash, a card? And I was just like, well, how much something like this? And they're like, all right, well, we'll get the billing team in here. And I was like, billing team?
Whenever there's a billing team, it's going to cost you something.
Yeah. So the billing team comes in, right? And they're talking, and they're just like, yeah, so this is the option we have, and we could do a discount, da 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 da. But basically, it was like a little over $5,000, right?
I thought it was way more than that.
Yeah, they say it's normally like $10,000, I guess.
All right,
but it was like it's a little over $5,000.
Well, niggas will pay that.
Exactly. They know they can. They know they can do it. That's why they charge that much. Well, really, it shouldn't cost that much. But they know that something that will be paid for.
Right. So yeah. So they had the option for that or whatever. But yeah. So I mean, I signed up because I was like, you know, I want to definitely get this get that blockage out. And I noticed a difference. But
oh, you did it already?
Yeah.
Oh, you had to Okay. Did you like finance it or something?
Yeah, he respectfully called me broke. He respectfully called me broke. Did you finance it or something?
Nah, it's not even that. Bro. Like, I'm a big proponent of using other people's money, even when I have the money. So
right, I'm learning that.
Yeah, you know so what I mean? I just assumed that something at that dollar amount level is where I would finance it, even if I had the money.
Yes,
so,
yeah. Okay. I wasn't about to max out my credit card for that. So I did like a down payment so that the payments was low or whatever. But I financed it. It's like a car note from like 2010 or whatever for the next year.
So you're gonna talk about the procedure or what?
It's basically the same technology. It's old. It's sound. It's ultrasound. Same thing I was talking about for the fibroid. It's sound. It's energy. Right?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, so did they have to insert anything, or were they able to do it externally?
No. I haven't gotten nothing inserted in me yet.
I'm
pause.
Just checking.
So what it is is you know you gotta you know. This is new for me. Got to get up there, strip. You know, it's like I'm back in jail. You know, it's like clothes off.
And they come out with the sound bazooka and just
basically. it looks more like remember in Men in Black, the noisy cricket.
Get the fuck out of here! Yeah.
It looks more like the noisy cricket. So yeah, you know the procedure. You know, once they get started, you know they basically they'll put it like on your we call the balls scrotum. Yeah. Put it on the scrotum area. You know, it's like that kind of thing going on. It's like it's tapping. Okay. It's like a
that's the sound wave, like
yeah. Okay. But the thing is actually like it's like a knocking thing. So like your balls are getting tapped and they go across your shaft and everything. Mm-hmm. That's getting tapped. So it's a little bit of a procedure. It's that's my first time like being naked. And like with a stranger and having them basically fondle me, you know, so that was like a whole new kind of thing. Cause it's like the first time
I never had like a yearly checkup where they could do the, you know,
no,
where they
like
cuff the shit and like turn your head and cough and no shit like that.
That's different.
A person is handling your shit talking about turn your head and cough.
No, when a person's talking about lift your balls up and lifting this up and tapping on it like that, bro, that's straight fondling. Yeah.
Length. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Just grabbing my balls and cough, like, bro, that's like a 5-second violation. We're talking about like 3 minutes of a violation.
Wait, was it a dude or a chick?
It's been both so far.
Fuck.
Listen. Yeah.
How are you? Did you focus? You had to focus? You ain't want to be up at attention when a dude is right there, huh?
What you mean?
You be questioning your sexuality?
Nah.
I'm just fucking
I made sure I was, I made sure I was flaccid every time.
See? That's what I'm saying.
I said as a joke to somebody that I was going to do that procedure because I knew it would be mad money in it. I don't see anybody that wouldn't want to pay for this. But you have to eat healthier in order to keep that at bay. You can clog it back up.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
I mean.
For sure.
Anti-inflammatory foods, teas, herbs, whatever you got to do.
Yeah. So, like I said, I just wanted to get ahead of it and, you know, knock that out. So that way, you know, and I've been eating better. You know, I've been going to the gym more. So I'm taking the right steps. But, you know, like I said, that plaque thing, that scared me because then I'm like, oh, so this is probably what's causing it for men. Like, and I'm like, why is it nobody is out there educating us on this? Like, and then it dawned on me. It's like, that's because once again, it goes back to mostly black men.
Yeah.
We are scared to go check on our health.
You're not going to the doctor.
I'm not though.
And then I guess, and then not only that, it takes a lot of courage for us to not only go there, but then to also share that information with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like how I said, I was sitting here thinking about if I wanted to share that, you know, this is something I've been doing for you know, a couple months now. Nobody
had any idea. I didn't even know about this.
And that's not something.
It's not a conversation.
Yeah. And man, that's just not the. That's just not like the bro conversation. Like, hey, bro,
I would though. If I was doing some shit like that, I would. Bro, if I can let another man fondle my balls at length for a medical procedure.
Whoa.
Hey, you did it, nigga. Pause my ass.
No, but the way you started that, if I could let a nigga.
I mean, not only that, you paid him to do it. So, if you could do all that shit, you could talk. You could talk to me about
the first.
Like that.
The first couple times was a Mexican dude. Now it's
why the ethnicity matter.
Now it's a beautiful black woman every time. Who's married?
That's crazy. She's married. I wonder what her. Nah, we're not gonna do that.
Yeah. What? I would. I haven't even broached the subject. I would never tell him. Well, he knows now that I even thought about doing that. But I was like, I thought about the money. I was like, yeah. And I probably wouldn't even have to work as much.
That'd probably be good money. And being black and recruiting to black people.
It's probably like you said. It was a cash. Just like this other procedure I was talking about for the fibroids. Insurances aren't paying for it yet.
Yep.
So
you gotta pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
So you just get with a financing company. I'll get a partnership going. And boom, bang, bing.
And those companies will not do your next appointment if you're not up to date with your money. They will not.
I think we should.
Listen.
Yeah.
I did ask her. I did ask her, like, you know, when I seen the ring, you know, while she's playing with my stuff.
Money. So you got talking about it while you
saw it. So I was just like.
Let me set the scene. Were you laying down?
insert gay music right here.
Were you laying down? Were you standing up? Did you have your hands on your hip like this?
Even worse.
I want to know, she was performing the procedure, so you was nervous, so you had to talk about something. So, why are you doing this?
No, I didn't say it like that. That's almost disrespectful. I was more so like, so you've been doing this long, you know, that kind of thing.
come here often.
And I was just like, so, you know, I just flat out said it. I said, you know, I noticed the ring on your finger.
What'd you say?
I said, how's your husband feel about you having this kind of job, you know? And I didn't go in. She knew what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm asking, how's your husband feel about you having several dicks in your hand every day?
And face.
And she said, doesn't trip at all. And I was just like, really? I was like, good money? She's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that's it. Mm-hmm. I was like, but that takes a real trusting individual, I would imagine.
What's she supposed to do? Just start blowing a nigga right there?
All right. So my next question
What I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what if your husband is like some little dick nigga, right? I'm speaking out into the universe. Like, what if your husband, I'm speaking for her. Like, what if your husband's a little dick nigga, right?
Okay.
And now you're fondling all these different guys. Now, what if, like, some dude that looks like, I don't know, Chris Brown or something?
Let him get it out.
So what if somebody just looks amazing, right? And they pull their pants down and it's just like this tree, right?
Okay.
And you've never experienced it and you're just curious. And remember, I told you, this is a procedure that goes on for some weeks. It's not 30 seconds sitting there getting to know. It's almost like a date. It's like a date every week. What if, you know, she might get a little curious, like towards the end, you
Which
know,
is,
and especially if there's,
that is correct.
And especially if there's progress, like what if you go in there with a tree with no blood flow? And now you're reaching towards the last week or two. And that thing, every time she touches it, is just, you know, she might.
That's crazy.
You gonna come back, you know, for a checkup, you know? Can I see you again? You know, you never know. Like, and I'm speaking from like an insecure guy.
You are absolutely right. I suppose it's a possibility.
It's a possibility. I mean, if you got this at home,
me don't even matter if you got that.
I know, but it's curiosity at the end of the day. If you got this at home and you've nursed this little precious thing back to this. You know what I'm saying? You might be like, you know, I'm big enough for that ride, you know.
Wow.
I'm big enough for that Six Flags ride.
I mean, the question is really what makes him so confident. It's not about she's a very confident husband.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That can only
could be.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, what I'm saying is like from an insecure husband perspective, like that thought could float up in their head.
I mean, the way I don't see it any different than gynecologists. Before, I don't know, maybe I hit my 20s, I don't think I had seen a woman gynecologist. And the older I got, I was like, you know, I really need to find a woman, because I was getting paranoid. I was like, you know what? What kind of man? Exactly. In my mind,
you just want to look at snatch all day.
Yeah.
Well, you realize when you're a kid, people just have jobs and it's just a job and that's it. When you get older, you realize there's a path to that position.
Exactly. The decision was made. Right.
A decision was made, and what made you think to yourself, "I want to be a gynecologist"?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what happens when you get somebody down there with bad hygiene? It's like you gotta navigate the cave smelling all kind of Monterey Jack cheese.
Listen. So we had went to this franchise expo, and my mom was really interested in doing this called the Pampered Peach. It's like a waxing.
I get what you mean.
I said no, because most likely I'm going to have to work there. I ain't doing that. I don't know.
Hey, you'd be like snatching, like waxing.
But I'm also thinking about hygiene. Like, people don't be the cleanest. I can't. I'll work the front desk. But if we're trying to grow this business, it's just me and you.
Yeah, y'all got to be back.
I'll work the front desk.
Yeah, snatching peaches.
She said, listen, I'll be at the strip club. I ain't stripping. I'll serve drinks.
Actually, that was a real conversation that happened when I was younger.
Oh, you served the drinks?
They was telling me to come work there. I was like, I'll be a bartender. And they was like, well, yeah, you could be the person to make sure everybody else doesn't get touched. I didn't say I was defending nobody. I just said I was serving a drink. I ain't got time to be watching everybody. Y'all supposed to have security.
Yeah.
Ooh, wild times, boy.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it seemed like good money. I'm glad I didn't do it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and you
I was probably like 18 or 19.
Right.
And I knew these people well, very well, so.
That's crazy, 18, 19, and worked at the bar. The illegal times we were in back in the day. People just let everything rock. I was going to say, so I know you had tutored that thing up before you spoke on.
Look.
What happened?
I was unconscious. It may have tooted, maybe not. I don't know what happened.
No, I said you tooted that thing up and you went to sleep and told them to have at it whatever.
I didn't
toot. I don't remember. I wasn't there. I don't remember how I went.
I was laying on my side, bro. Dude played me like a violin.
With the legs up?
Nah, I was laying on my side.
Laying on your side.
Yeah, he put his arm up on my shit and played it like a violin.
So you kept the cheeks clenched?
I don't know. I was out cold.
He probably lifted the leg up, got up in there.
He might have, you know what I'm
but anyway, I have brought that up to say.
I've been in one of those procedures. I ain't doing all gloves, that. You know
I'm sure he used gloves. I'm sure he was gentle. I was going to say, have you thought about going back? Like, is that something that you have to get done like every other year? I mean,
so because the reason I was getting it done is because I had actual polyps on my intestine. And we're talking real now. They have said that I might want to go back and get a check because that's what happened to Chadwick Boseman.
That's why I brought it up.
And yeah. Now they have a new way of doing it where they don't to check to see if you have that disease. They have a couple of ways of doing it. Mm-hmm. One of them is like through your stool or whatever. So okay. I did do that and okay. I came out clean. But they also say if it comes out inconclusive or something, you may have to actually get like the invasive done. And I didn't, luckily, so... And I didn't have to, but because that had happened at such a young age, they were pushing for me to get it for a while. I think you're supposed to get it within like 5 or 6 years, like to get checked again. But I pushed that off because that was a traumatic experience for me. But gotcha. It was good. I pushed it off long enough for the technology to progress, and I didn't have to get that done again.
So how long did you get that done?
It was like a year ago.
Okay,
it wasn't that long ago. One or maybe 2 years.
Yeah, we're in 2024 now.
Yeah, it's probably 2 years.
Yeah. Okay.
So I keep track of my health. I do my yearly checkups. You know, I got kids and all that kind of stuff. I don't really have... They always tell me I have high blood pressure, but I had this thing I did with the doctor one time. And remember, he looked at me like I was crazy. So I was in the doctor's office and he did, you know, blood pressure tests and was like, oh man, your blood pressure's high. I said, hold on, give me a minute. And I sat down on the floor with my back to the wall, took a bunch of deep breaths and really calmed down. I was like, all right, do it again.
It works.
And then my blood pressure was normal. He's like, what the hell? I was like, yeah, I'm probably stressed or something. I just had to calm down. Yeah. That's all it was. Yeah.
And some people have white coat syndrome, which means they get in the doctor's office and they get anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know? So
they're trying to tell me I have hypertension and calling it the silent killer and all that.
Yeah.
And all I did was meditate basically for like 5 minutes and then took it again. And dude was shocked.
Nine times out of 10, that's gonna work, especially when you're those first faces when you're first telling you have you mm-hmm. have it. Yeah, unless you just, it's like egregiously high, but other than that, it's just slightly elevated.
Yeah. Mm. What about you? Live? Do you get your yearly checkup?
Oh, yearly check? Yeah. Come on. I'm active. I have no choice but to do that.
But you still have, but I'm talking
about,
everything else
I'm talking about, I got to do that colon thing for sure.
But like I said, there's ways for them to check certain stuff, specifically a prostate too, without them having to do it the old school way.
Just
so at least they got to do the little hook. They can just.
Now, what percentage is that at a success rate? Is it by them checking your stool?
Well, they don't do the stool test for that. That was for the polyps and stuff. So the polyps, if they're in your intestine, your food and stuff pass mm-hmm. through that. So that's going to rub off on your stool. But if it's for your prostate, I'm pretty sure it's not a stool test. It's some other test they can do that's not invasive.
You're talking about prostate.
Yeah, prostate. There's some other test. I don't remember what it was that they do to make sure to see. But if they can't tell, they always warn you, they may still do it the old school way. Yeah, it's a lab test.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's still some old, they can still do the old school way or whatever to test and see if you
can. You know, I'd probably, just to be on the safer side, I would probably just go the old school way. Just suck it up, buttercup.
You don't have to do it that way. They, like I said, they know a better way to do it, but unless you just want to get
I understand it's a better way, but unless I hear that it's a 100% success rate, but I'm just, excuse my language, checking my shit.
Well, the other way is literally just a doctor feeling. It's very, analog, like
and
a manual.
And that's not 100% either.
Yeah.
So. Mm.
Well, maybe I'll do both.
Yeah. Be on the safe side.
Yeah, let them get in.
Because I want to prolong my life as long as I can, you know?
Yeah, everybody dies, though.
Unless I, get to a point where I don't be here no more. Then I'm like, I ain't checking it no more.
That's a temporary feeling. You're talking about mental shit. And with that... Once again, my sis Tiff, thank you so much for coming on. It was educational for myself and I'm sure lots of others out there. And I hope it provided some information and some knowledge. If y'all have any questions, you can go ahead in the comments. You can email us or whatever. If you got anything specifically for her, I'll make sure she at least hears it. She may or may not answer. and like that, this is Golden Lion, Timothy Chalamet.
And just Tiff.
And we out of here, y'all. Have a good one.
Peace. I like how you just shut that shit down. All right, on that note.